Daniel chapter 6, and let's begin reading here in verse number 1. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says there, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the kingdom and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, 'That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day.' Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed.' Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, 'Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.' And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. He could not sleep that night. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, 'O Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?' And said Daniel unto the king, 'O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt.' Then was the king exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, 'Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, please, to speak to our hearts tonight. Spirit of God, help me to say what should be said and lead me and guide me, guide my thoughts, guide my lips. Help me to speak what you want. Holy Spirit of God, fill me with your power. Fill each listener with your spirit, that we would listen attentively and yieldedly as your voice tries to speak to us. Help us now, I pray. Challenge us and convict us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you some things about Daniel here this evening. The title of the message is The Habit of Kneeling. The Habit of Kneeling. And we're going to focus on that in just a little bit. But first, I want to point out some things about the life of Daniel and his faithfulness as a kneeling man. He was a kneeling man for sure. He was a praying man. And I want you to see that Daniel had the habit of kneeling in his life. Daniel was faithful to kneeling in prayer in his life. A few things I want you to see quickly first about Daniel's life. Number one, Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was a faithful man. Verse 4 said, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. What a great thing that could be said about him. They could not find anything wrong with him. They were looking and they could not find that he didn't disobey the king in any way. He didn't break any of the laws of the kingdom. They just could not find anything that he did maybe shadily or sneakily or did something the wrong way. He was a faithful man. It says there they could find an occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. David was a faithful man, a very faithful man. And I think his faithfulness goes along with the fact that they could not find things wrong in his life. Daniel was a faithful man. Secondly, Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer. Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer. Let's look there at verse number 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer, wasn't he? This is how they figured. We're somehow going to get Daniel in trouble by something that he does in relation to his God, by something to do with the laws of God and the things that he does there. And they watched Daniel and they observed Daniel and they knew that, you know what, every day, 3 times a day, he goes by his window and he kneels towards Jerusalem and he prays. Oh, he spends some time there praying, and they watched him and they observed him as he would kneel and pray faithfully. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And they came up with a pretty conniving, sneaky idea. We'll have a plan. If he asks a petition of anyone else other than the king, we'll get him. We'll get him. They thought they would get him for his prayer life. Daniel was faithful, wasn't he? When he was there praying, it was even after the law had been made. He was even after the decree had been made. Nobody's supposed to ask a petition of anyone but God. But Daniel still did the right thing, didn't he? Daniel was faithful to that place of prayer. Faithful to that place of prayer. Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer. Thirdly, Daniel was faithful in spite of adversity. He was faithful in spite of adversity. Verse 7, the presidents, the princes, all them, they got together. They came to the king, trying to get him to make this law that no one could ask a petition of anyone else except the king. They knew what Daniel would do. They knew his character. They knew his faithfulness. And so they were in opposition to him. They were becoming adversaries to him. They were trying to knock him down a bit. They wanted him to be in trouble. They wanted to see him killed if possible. And despite this adversity, Daniel stayed faithful. Even when the decree was made, we saw in verse 10, he still went and prayed, didn't he? It said there, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Just like he was doing before the decree was made, he kept on doing it. It didn't matter that now, well, there's been a petition made that you can't talk to anyone. You can't ask a petition of anyone except the king. Daniel, he couldn't really obey that. He had to obey his God. He had to continue praying to his God. And this decree and this law, even though it was adversarial to his position, he just kept on doing right. He kept on praying. He was faithful in spite of that adversity. He did as he did aforetime, just as he usually did. He kept on doing it. He kept on praying. You know what? Sometimes when people get a little trouble in their life, they stop praying. Oh, that's not the time to stop praying. Keep on praying. Sometimes when they go through a little struggle in their life, they stop going to church. Listen, that's not the time to stop going to church. Keep on going to church. Be faithful. You need God in your life. You may have a trouble. You may have a hurt. You may have some struggles in your life, but you need God. So keep on being faithful to God. Keep on praying. Don't let adversity keep you from being faithful in your life. It says in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered, the thing is true. You knew it. You were there with me. You gave me the idea, remember? It says in verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. I'm so glad Daniel was faithful in spite of the adversity. He kept on praying. He kept on being faithful to God. And that's how we need to be as well. Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer. Daniel was faithful in spite of adversity. And number four, I want you to see that God blessed Daniel's faithfulness. God blessed Daniel's faithfulness. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Verse 18 says, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were the instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. He ran. He was anxious to see what's happened to Daniel. I love Daniel. Daniel's been such a faithful man and a loyal man and such a help to me in the kingdom. He loved him. Verse 20 says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the den of lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence he was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him. Took Daniel, had some men help him and bring him up out of that den of lions. And the Bible says there was no manner of hurt found on him. God protected him, didn't he? God protected him. God blessed Daniel's faithfulness. Notice verse 28 as well. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God made Daniel to prosper because he was a faithful man, because he was a good man. He was a godly man. He was a praying man. God blessed Daniel's faithfulness with protection and also in prosperity. He prospered him. He prospered him. Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer. Daniel was faithful in spite of adversity. God blessed Daniel's faithfulness with protection and prospering him. And lastly, I want you to see this. Daniel's faithfulness to kneel in prayer became a wonderful testimony to the world of God's faithfulness. That was a long one. Let me say it again. Daniel's faithfulness to kneel in prayer became a wonderful testimony to the whole world of God's faithfulness. Of God's faithfulness. Isn't that an awesome thing? Look what it said in verse 25. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Do you understand that because of Daniel's faithfulness, God proved his faithfulness, and then the whole world got to find out about God's faithfulness? It's a wonderful testimony. Daniel was a faithful man, and God certainly blessed that, and God showed his faithfulness in the life of Daniel, and then everybody heard about it. Everybody got to know about it because God's faithfulness was proved in Daniel's life. In spite of some adversity, in spite of a difficulty that he went through, a difficult situation, should I do the right thing? Should I keep on praying? Hey, when Daniel was faithful to God, God proved his faithfulness, and then the whole world heard about it. The whole world found out about it. Listen, it'll be a wonderful testimony if you'll be faithful. And I think, well, I couldn't quite have the sphere or influence, you know, that Daniel did in that situation. I mean, that's just amazing. Well, you know what? You'll be faithful to God when people at your workplace know that you're going through a great trial in your life. You have some neighbors or some friends or some co-workers or whoever, and they know about maybe some of the trials in your life or the struggles in your life, and they see you keep trusting God, and they hear you continue to pray, and they see the joy of the Lord that you have on your face and in your life, and they see you continue to praise God and love God and follow God. That'll be a good testimony to them. That'll be a wonderful testimony to them that look at them. Look at the joy that they have. Look at their faithfulness to God. Their God must be the living God. Their God must be real because they have something that I don't have in my life. Listen, the testimony to the world was wonderful in Daniel's life. You could have a good testimony to the world by you being faithful to God in spite of some trial or adversity or troubles in your life. Let for yourself see God's faithfulness. But you know what? Others will see that as well. They'll see God's faithfulness in your life. They'll know it. Daniel was a faithful man, wasn't he? And a great example for us. Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was faithful to his place of prayer. Daniel was faithful in spite of adversity. God blessed Daniel's faithfulness by protecting him and prospering him. And Daniel's faithfulness to kneel in prayer became a wonderful testimony to the world of God's faithfulness. Here was a man of prayer. Here was a man who knew how to kneel. Here was a man who knew how to pray. Here was a man who was in the habit of kneeling, wasn't he? He continued to do as he did aforetime. Three times a day, go and kneel by the window and pray to God and give thanks to God. He was in the habit of kneeling. Okay, time for me to kneel again. And he would keep going back to that place of kneeling. Keep going back to that place of prayer in his life. We need that. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man who knew how to kneel. Daniel was faithful to a time and to a place of prayer. He was in the habit of kneeling. In the habit of kneeling. Let me share with you quickly some things that we ought to do to be in the habit of kneeling. Number one, we need to kneel daily. We need to kneel daily. Look with me at several verses, if you would. We ought to kneel daily. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 5. And you find it there with me? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5. If I go quickly and you don't get there in time, I'm sorry, but let me read these. 1 Timothy 5, 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Night and day. This verse mentions a widow woman, faithful in her supplications, faithful in her prayers. Faithful to kneel. Faithful to spend time with God. My mom's a faithful widow. Loves God and prays. Listen, all of us ought to be that kind of a person. We all ought to kneel daily. We ought to take time to kneel. We ought to take time to pray. We need to take time to spend with God and talk with Him and thank Him and fellowship with Him. If you're going to be in the habit of kneeling in your life, that habit is developed, you know what? Daily. Daily. They say that habits are formed, what, in 40 days, something like that? 21 days? I don't know. See, I don't have any good habits in my life. That's why. No, habits are formed by doing something over and over and over, day after day after day. You want the good habit of kneeling to pray in your life? You're going to have to do it today. And determine to do it tomorrow. And determine to do it the next day and the next day. You're going to have to develop that habit in your life. Listen, God wants you to kneel daily. God wants you to spend time with Him. You want to develop the habit of kneeling in your life? Kneel daily. Kneel daily. Here's another good idea. Number two, kneel every morning. Kneel every morning. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 5, Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 3, Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." What a great verse of the psalmist. In the morning, God, you're going to hear my voice. In the morning, God, you're going to hear my prayer. In the morning, God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to meet with you. In the morning, God, I'm going to spend time with you. In the morning, God, you're going to find me kneeling in that spot and I want you to meet me there. I want to spend time with you. Listen, we ought to kneel every morning. Kneel every morning. Psalm chapter 88 and verse 13. Psalm chapter 88 and verse 13. It says, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee." Listen, we ought to kneel every morning. Jesus went out a great while before day to pray, didn't he? He went out a great while before day. He would spend time in the morning. He would spend time in prayer. If Jesus needed to spend time in prayer, if Jesus needed to go out in the morning before facing all the crowds of people that thronged for him and wanted his attention and wanted his help, we better spend time in prayer. I think I perhaps mentioned it last week in the message. We ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. We need to spend time with God. We need to kneel in prayer. We need to kneel daily. We need to kneel every morning. We need to, number three, kneel often. Kneel often. In 1 Thessalonians 5:7, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. If you were busy cooking a big meal, perhaps some of you did today on this Easter Sunday, maybe. If you were cooking a big meal today or another day, and you know what, you'd be busy with several things. You might have some pots on the stove where you had some things in there and you were cooking some vegetables and cooking some potatoes or cooking some rice or cooking this and that. And you may have several pots on the stove of things that you're busy. You've been chopping over here and threw it in over here and you're preparing this and making this soup and doing this. And all these things are being prepared. You've got something else that you put in the oven and maybe every once in a while you have to go check that and pull the roasting pan out and you have to take the lid off and check it and see how it's doing. And maybe you have several pots on the stove and you got something in the oven and over here you and your daughter are working together and you're making a pie. And you're making a pie. That's a wonderful thing. And you're making a pie for dessert you got all these things you're busy with. Things on the counter you're preparing, you got busy setting the table, you got pots on the stove that you're having to check on and make sure they're not boiling over. You just want them to be cooked just the right amount of time, not overcooked, not undercooked. You know what, our lives are kind of a lot like that, where there may be a lot of different things going on in your life. And some of them are needful things. You got to go to job. You got to go to work. That's your job. Or you got to go to school. You got to maybe eat a meal, perhaps. You got to do certain things. There are things that you have to do every day. You know what, those are some of the pots on the stove and something in the oven and so on. But you know what our lives need to be like? That one of those things on the stove is prayer. Oh, you might have to go to work and you're there checking the oven. You're checking that thing in the stove. You may have some responsibilities in caring for your family or just things of life that you have some errands you have to run. And that's some of the pots on the stove that you're checking on this, you're doing this, you're working your job, you're making sure all these things are okay. But one of the pots on the stove that you need to keep going back and checking on, keep going back and spending time to make sure it's okay, is spending time in prayer. If you're going to pray without ceasing, you can't pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got to have some time to sleep. You got to go to work. There are things that are a part of life, but you're to pray without ceasing. That means that in the midst of doing all these other things that you have to do, keep checking on prayer. Keep going back to spending that time in prayer. Throughout the day, spend time in prayer. Throughout the day, as needs arise, spend time in prayer. When there's a difficulty, spend time in prayer. When you just want to praise and thank God, go back to spending time in prayer. Keep going back and checking on that one thing on the stove. Make sure that prayer is always included in every part of your day. Every part of your life. Pray without ceasing. We should be always ready to pray. We should pray without ceasing. We should kneel often. Kneel often. You want to develop the habit of kneeling in your life? You want to become faithful to prayer? You want to kneel in your life? You want to have the habit of kneeling in your life? Kneel daily. Kneel every morning. Kneel often. Kneel often. Turn with me over to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. Let me encourage you about a fourth thing tonight. We need to keep kneeling at all times. Keep kneeling at all times. And by that, I mean, keep kneeling in good times and keep kneeling in bad times. Keep kneeling when things are just great and keep kneeling when maybe you got a struggle in your life. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They were in jail. They were in prison. That would sound to me like one of the bad times. They were in prison that night. And prisons back then weren't so cozy and fancy and nice as they are today. And that night in prison at midnight, Paul and Silas are there singing and praising and praying to God. We ought to kneel during the good times and the bad times. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 12. Romans 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says they're rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Again, it's similar to the thought of praying without ceasing. We need to be ready to pray at any time. Rejoicing in hope, and when we've got hope and things are good, a patient when we're going through some tribulations and trials in our life, but always ready to pray, continuing instant in prayer, that in an instant we could pray. Be instant in season, out of season, the Bible says. You take that same thought. That's what it's referring to about here in prayer. Be ready to pray when you got hope, and be ready to pray when you don't seem to have any hope. Be ready to pray when you got joy and you're rejoicing, and be ready to pray when you're in a little bit of despair and you're going through a difficulty in your life. Continuing instant in prayer. We need to continue kneeling at all times, good and bad. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. You found it there. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. The words "be careful for nothing," you know it. If you've been in church for a little while, it really means, be anxious about nothing. Don't be worried about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He says, you need to be ready to pray. You need to pray about everything, in everything by prayer. Pray in the good times, pray in the bad times. Keep kneeling in the good times, keep kneeling in the bad times. Look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Hey, let's keep kneeling at all times. When you're rejoicing in hope and when you're having to be patient in some tribulations, let's continue instant in prayer. Let's keep praying when things are good, and let's keep praying when things are maybe not so good. Keep kneeling at all times. You want to develop the habit of kneeling in your life, then kneel daily, kneel every morning, kneel often. Keep kneeling at all times. Have a place to kneel. Have a place to kneel. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. We ought to have a place to kneel. If you're going to be in the habit of kneeling, you got to have a place to kneel. A place that you keep going back to. A place where you spend time in prayer. It says in Luke 11 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Jesus was praying in a certain place. His disciples, they came and found him. And they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." You know what? Jesus had a place to pray. He had a place where he'd go and kneel in prayer. And I understand there was many places, but you know what? The disciples knew, oh, we know where we'll find Jesus. We know where we can go and find him. He'll be in that place praying. We know we'll go and we'll find him there kneeling and he'll be in prayer. We're going to find him there. You know what? They went and found Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. We ought to have a place to kneel. They knew that Jesus would be in that place kneeling. They knew that Jesus would be in that place praying. If we're going to have the habit of kneeling in our life, you need to have a place to kneel. Choose a place. Find a quiet place and kneel in prayer. Let me share with you another thing. Number six, we ought to kneel for others. We ought to kneel for others. Look with me at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. The Bible says there, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sakes and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul says, I want you to be praying for me. I need you to be striving together with me in prayer. Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He said, I need some others kneeling for me. I need some others praying for me. And I would say that same plea and prayer and desire. I need you praying for me. Other Christians need you praying for them. There are lost people that need you praying for them. Let's kneel for others. Let's kneel for others. In Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen, other people need you to be praying for them. If you're going to develop the habit of kneeling in your life, let's pray for others. Let's kneel for others. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Isn't that a great statement made about that man? He said, he's saluting you. I'm sending greetings from Epaphras, and I just want you to know something. He's been laboring fervently in prayer for you. He's been laboring fervently. I mean, he's been spending much time kneeling in prayer for you because he wants God's will to be done in your life. He wants you to mature in Christ and grow in Christ. Oh, isn't it a blessing when we know that others are kneeling and praying for us? Well, let's kneel and pray for others. Let's kneel and pray for others. Let's develop the habit of kneeling in our life. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we could go to many of the epistles, but there are so many references made to where Paul said, I make mention of you in my prayers. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. He said that often in the letters that he wrote to churches and to Christians and to believers and so on. We ought to kneel for others. Kneel for others. You say, I don't got nothing to pray about. Well, you start praying for others, you'll have a lot to pray about. There's a lot to pray about. Other people need us to pray for them. Christians need our prayers. Converts need our prayers. Neighbors need our prayers. Fellow church members need our prayers. Let's kneel for others. Kneel for others. I know my wife has told me sometimes, she'll maybe wake up in the middle of the night. She can't go back to sleep. It's, okay, God, who do you want me to pray for? And she might start praying for people in the middle of the night. And she probably has prayed for some of you that way. And listen, let's kneel and pray for others. Kneel and pray for others. You want to develop the habit of kneeling in your life. Kneel daily. Kneel every morning. Kneel often. Pray without ceasing. Keep kneeling at all times, good and bad. Have a place to kneel. Kneel for others. And number seven, I say, kneel with others. Kneel with others. Look at a few verses here in the book of Acts quickly. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. We ought to kneel with others. Kneel with others. The first century church gathered together to pray. That's why I like it when we pray together as a church and we spend time kneeling and spend time in prayer together. In Acts 1 and verse 13, it says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Listen, there was a group of perhaps 120 people or so, a group of people that were there together praying in the upper room. They were kneeling together in prayer. How important it is that we kneel with others. Acts 2 and verse number 42 says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Breaking of bread and in prayers. Listen, we ought to kneel to pray together. We ought to kneel together corporately, collectively, as a church body, and spend some time in prayer, spend time kneeling together. We ought to kneel with others. Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5 says this, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God, of the church unto God for him." And then verse 12 says this, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Oh, I like that. There was many people gathered together at the house praying. The first century church prayed together. We ought to pray together. We ought to kneel with others. Kneel with others. Look with me at Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Oh, you want to be a faithful man like Daniel? Would you like to have God's protection and God's prospering you and so on? Daniel was a faithful man of prayer. He was a man who knew how to kneel. He was a man in the habit of kneeling, and we need that in our life as well. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." I say this, number 8, kneel as long as necessary. Kneel as long as necessary. He's had to spend the night in prayer. Spend the night in prayer. It may be that there are times when you need to just keep on praying and pray through. It's an old song. You got to pray through. You may have to pray through. You may have to keep on praying for a long time about something. You may need to pray through the night. You may need to have seasons of prayer that is more than just I prayed like I prayed before eating my meal. You need to pray fervently and pray seriously and spend much time in prayer. Kneel as long as necessary. In Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 29. Mark 9 and verse 29, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. God expects us to spend time in prayer and fasting. Jesus expected his disciples to spend time in prayer and fasting. Listen, you may need to kneel a little bit longer. You may need to kneel as long as necessary. There may be things in your life where you need to learn to pray the night through. Spend much time in prayer. Have a sweet hour of prayer. Kneel as long as necessary. Kneel as long as necessary to make sure you've been in God's presence. Kneel as long as necessary to make sure you know that you've been with God and you've spent time with God and God's communed with your heart. If you go to the place of prayer and you spend a minute there and you would be honest with yourself and God and say, I think I just said some words. I think I just read from a piece of paper. I read a list and I don't think I really, I don't know if me and God really met this morning. You may need to pray longer. Kneel as long as necessary. And lastly, I'd say kneel in faith. Kneel in faith, believing. Believing. We need believing faith when we pray. Matthew 21 and verse number 22 says, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Ye shall receive. If we go to prayer not believing, it's not likely to accomplish much. If we go to prayer in doubting, it's not likely to accomplish much. We need to go in faith believing. Kneel to pray in faith believing. Oh, Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was faithful to a place of prayer. Daniel was faithful to kneeling. He had that habit in his life. He had developed it in his life. And so now when tragedy comes, or opposition comes, or adversarial type situation comes in his life, and really his faith is being tried,
Will he stay true to God? Listen, he just kept on praying. He kept on kneeling. He kept on with the habit that he developed. Maybe it had been a part of his life for so many years that it didn't matter if trial came now. I'm just going to keep on kneeling. I'm just going to keep on praying. It doesn't matter what it may cost me. I'm going to keep on kneeling and keep on spending time in prayer. We need to develop the habit of kneeling in our lives. In Daniel's life, look how God used it to be a wonderful testimony of the faithfulness of God. Yes, we see Daniel's faithfulness throughout the story, but God's faithfulness is even greater. The way that God protected him and God's prospered him, and then the way the whole world got to hear about it. You be faithful to God, Christian, no matter what you may be going through in your life, and it'll help some other people. God will spread the word about it. Others will hear about it. Others will see it in your life. Let's develop the habit of kneeling in our life. Let's kneel daily. Let's kneel every morning. Let's kneel often. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, we got a lot of things in life, but make sure you keep going and spending time in prayer all throughout the day. Kneel daily. Kneel every morning. Kneel often. Keep kneeling through good times and through bad times. Have a place to kneel. Where are you going to go tomorrow to pray? Where are you going to go the next morning to pray? Find a quiet place somewhere in your home, someplace. Have a place to kneel. Kneel for others. Kneel with others. Kneel as long as necessary. And kneel in faith. We've got to develop the habit of kneeling in our life. Children need to learn how to kneel and pray. Parents need to learn how to kneel and pray. Every Christian needs to learn to, how can I have that habit of kneeling? How can I have that habit of spending time in prayer in my life every day and every morning? We need it. As we try to make it through the day and make it through life, we can't make it without God's help. And we better learn to kneel and pray, spend time with God. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You say, Pastor, well what happens if, and what happens if I forget to pray some morning? I blew it. You know, what happens if I didn't pray that day? Or what if I missed a day and I didn't pray and I ran? Oh, in North America, people would say, if you fall off the horse, you get back on the horse. You know, you fall out of the saddle, you get back in the saddle. You fall, you get back up. You know, the Bible says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You can still be a just man in the eyes of God. Fall, get back up. Fall, get back up. We'll all fail sometime. But you know, we need to work hard at it. I want that habit daily in my life. Every day I want to spend time with God. Every day I want to spend time in prayer. Throughout the day I want to learn to continue instant in prayer and pray without ceasing. I want that in my life. And let's work at it. It's a holy habit. It's a good habit that we need to develop in our lives. The habit of kneeling. Let's work at it. Let's seek God's help to do it. And with His help, we can. We can. He wants us to. He wants us to succeed at it. And He'll help us. Let's pray to Heavenly Father.